This is a Chazor Shir for this past Shabbos, Parshas Shlach. We learn the Mishnah that everybody's familiar with, and you know those Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos that we grew up with, and we've heard over and over since the time that we're children. There's a very great comfort and a sweetness that comes with that familiarity. But on the other hand, sometimes it means that we've accepted that our superficial understanding of that Mishnah is enough, and it's not Chas v'Shalom, not with the Mishnayos, not Pirkei Avos, not with anything in Torah. The Mishnah everybody knows in the beginning of the fourth parak. Ben Zayim is telling us that there are certain qualities that every single person in this world wants. Everybody wants to be a chacham, a gibur. He wants to be an usher. He wants to be respected, to have kavod. And in this Mishnah, Ben Zayim is telling us the Torah's definition of Ezehu chacham. What does it mean to be a chacham? What does that really mean? Everybody in the world has their own definition of chacham. What does the Torah say about chacham? Ezehu chacham. Ezehu gibur. What does it mean to be a strong, a powerful person? What does that mean? Again, in the world there are many definitions. Mechubed, to be somebody who is honored, who is worthy of honor. What we're going to focus on today is perhaps the best known but the least observed. Ezehu asher. Who is a truly wealthy person? Hasamech bechelkai. The one who is samech, who is happy, who is joyous with what he has, his chelik in life. That is the Torah's definition of a person who be'emes is an Aisha. Be'emes, he's wealthy. Now we need to understand this because the Torah is a Torah's chayim. And the Torah is coming to teach us, Orchais Chaim, every moment of our lives, how to live the right way. And the Torah has given each sefer of Chumash, each sefer in Chumash is teaching us something else about ourselves, something else about us as a people, as a nation. And the Baruch Shalom gave us an entire sefer that is devoted to the nisyonos, the tests, the challenges, the difficulties of our people at the beginning, during that period of the Midbar. And it must be that Hashem's Baruch is telling us something for all generations, for every generation with its nisyonos, for each and every person, each and every individual going through his own personal midbar, his own personal wilderness. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to speak about Sefer Bamidbar as being the Sefer HaDerech, the book of the path, of the Derech. That means, during Sefer Bamidbar, we weren't here or there. We left Mitzrayim, we were free, we received the Torah, but we hadn't yet arrived. We hadn't reached our destination of Elam Nucha ve'Elanachla, to come to the Beis HaMikdash, to come to build, to be our own people in Eretz Yisrael, with the Beis HaMikdash, with Mashiach. We hadn't arrived. So the Book of Bamidbar is describing our life, baderech, on the way to becoming. You know, the Yerushalmi tells us in Brachas, kol adrochim b'cheska sakana. Kol adrochim b'cheska sakana means that when a person is not home, when a person's baderech, there are all types of dangers that are lurking along the way. That's why we have tefillas aderech. The derech is a place where a person is vulnerable. He's not home. He's not certain always where he's heading to. And even if he is, he doesn't know what's going to happen along the way. The emes is that all of life in this world is a metzias of a prizdar, as Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos. It's a hallway. It's a hallway, it's a derech that's leading to a trackland, to some great big banquet hall, some big place. All of life along this path, in this hallway of history, is leading to by Yoimahu Ya Hashem Echad Ushmay Echad. That's the Tachlis. And all of our lives here in the Derech, in the Prozdor, we're working. We're working to somehow finally to get to that by Yoimahu, to get to the Tracklin, to get to our destination, Yerushalayim, with Beis HaMikdash. Along the way, there are problems. Baderech, on a journey, there are chisroinus, there are things that are lacking, there are problems. There are nisyonis, both physical nisyonis, tests, and there are, of course, nisyonis beruach. In ruchnius, there are tests. The midbar that our ancestors went through was a place of nochash, sorov, and akrab. It was a place that was crawling with scorpions and snakes and all kinds of slithering, scary things. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the nochash, the sorov, the akrab, all of these creatures symbolize different koiches of tuma, different koiches that come from the klipa. In Hazinu, Yimtzeihu be'eretz midbar, uvesoihu yilel yeshimai. The desert is a place of tohu. It's chaotic. It's desolate. It's frightening. And so it is with the midbar that our nation has been walking through on its journey to Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmay Echad. And so it is with each person in his own trip that he's taking in this world. Sefer Shmais, Bereishis of course is the beginning, Maisei Avos, Sefer Shmais is describing all types of wondrous revelations that are descending upon us from Shemayim. Sefer Vayikra is a Sefer that's devoted to the Avodah in Ruchnius and Kabbonis and Mitzvahs and so on. But then when we reach Sefer Bamidbar, we find that in that book of the Derech, we find Jews who are hungry, Jews who are thirsty, Jews who are jealous. We find inside fighting. We find Yeyush, despair, Nefilas Ruach. So it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Sefer by Midbar, and that we went through that time in the Midbar with all of its ups and downs to teach us as a people and each and every one of us as an individual how to live, how to somehow navigate our way through the Derech of life. Ramchal, in the first parak of Mesillas Yesharim, the Ramchal tells us, "V'hinei samay Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'adam, d'mokim shurabim bay hamarchikim oisam yimani yizbarach." That Hashem has placed man in a world where there are many, many things that are pulling him away from God. And he continues a little bit later and says, "Misrachik v'ha'olech man ha'toyv ha'amiti," to bring him further and further away from true good. In truth, man has been lowered into the battlefield, into a milchama, into a very, very ferocious battlefield in this world. He called in Yonei Ha'olam everything in this world, ben l'toiv, ben l'mutav, whether it's good or it's bad. Hinehem nisyonis l'adam, it's all nisyonis, all tests. It's all part of the milchama. Whether a person has a good day and he's making a lot of money, and he's not sure how to spend that money and how to use the brachas that Hashem has given him, that's also the milchama, that's also the war. The brachas of marriage, the brachas of children, the brachas of community, of friends, the brachas of parents. How do we use these brachas? These are nisyanis. It's a milchama. And obviously the suffering of life, all the nisyanis that come with suffering, everything is part of the milchama. That's what Ramchal teaches us. So the sefer of the derech is Sefer Bamidbar. And Sefer Bamidbar is teaching us what to do, how to manage in the Prozdor, how to understand the Prozdor, how to understand that hallway, and how to somehow manage and live in the hallway. One of the biggest yesidas that the Torah is teaching us is this yesid of Ezehu Osher HaSameach Bechalkoi, the Simchas HaChelik. Let me explain. The Torah that we're going to learn now was primarily coming from the teachings of a very great and mysterious tzaddik who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is alive and well. He's called the Chalban, which means the Milchiger, the milkman. He's a great tzaddik and mekubal who only recently has begun to publish some of his teachings, his mamarim. People go to him for brachas. He is disguised as a simple Jew who is in a milk factory someplace. I don't know exactly where. I think maybe near Tel Aviv, maybe Givatayim somewhere. He's a tzaddik and a kaddish. And Baruch Hashem, recently, we've started to receive his teachings. So the Sefer Talul Leichaim that came out on Bamidbar a very short time ago, in there, the Chalban teaches us the following. Man's nature is to constantly seek shleimus, especially the nature of a Jew. A Jew comes from the Makar Chaim Baruch Hu, from the source of perfection, from the source of life, the life of all life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's man's nature to want desperately to reach a state of menucha and nachla, to come to that place where he has completed his journey, where he has shleimus, where he reaches perfection, where he comes to that ideal. We see in our parasha, in Parasha Shlach, after Bnei Yisrael received the terrible report of the spies, of the Meraglim, and we cried, and we're still crying because that was the beginning, that was the first Tisha B'Av, and we still have Tisha B'Avs. Every year is Tisha B'Av, and all of life is Tisha B'Av, really. So after that, you remember that there was a group of Jews from Bnei Ephraim, the Ma'apilim, who couldn't bear remaining in the desert, who couldn't accept the idea that the derech, the path, or the journey is going to no longer be 11 days. It's going to take years and years. They didn't know how many years, because we're still on our journey. But because they couldn't bear that, these Ma'apilim wanted to rush ahead and to race into Eretz Yisrael. And of course they were killed. V'hilo titzlach, as it says in Torah, it can't work. There's a derech. But because man is so desperate to come to the, to reach that destination, and to come to the menucha and nachla of shleimus, because of that, any time along the way, there's a difficulty, there's an obstacle that is holding him back from that shleimus, that is postponing his encounter with shleimus, or his reaching that point of destination. Any such disruption, any such obstacle can cause the person and the nation an unbelievable weakness, a weakness, a spiritual weakness, an chalishas hadas, and a physical weakness. A person and a nation that's dreaming of shleimus, and all of a sudden, thinking that the shleimus is around the corner, hine ze oimed achar kosleinu, believing that shleimus is at is within our reach, and all of a sudden, and all of a sudden to hit a terrible detour, to be thrown a horrible curveball of problems, of chesroinus. It's very, very, very hard to be soivel that. When a person's expecting to have a beautiful, quiet day, and all of a sudden he gets an upsetting call, or all of a sudden something is wrong with you, he hears something terrible, God forbid, about someone that he loves. When the person who was programmed for shleimus, for menucha, for peace, for tranquility, for shleimus, opens his eyes and sees that he's in a place of ihashleimus, of ishleimus, the opposite of shleimus, imenucha, turbulence and turmoil, not peace. So then that massive that he now finds himself in becomes unbearable. And as a result of that, it's very easy for the individual and for the people who are expecting to be any moment in Eretz Yisrael, for the individual who's expecting to be any moment in his own personal geula, however he defines his Eretz Yisrael, for that person it could cause a terrible, terrible chalishus, a weakness in spirit and in strength. And oftentimes the person simply cannot move forward. He becomes stuck and lost and depressed. A person knows, each and every one of us knows, that there's a matzav ha-nefesh. We spoke a lot about this a few years ago in the shiur of Amenuchas ha-nefesh. There's a matzav ha-nefesh, there's a state of the soul that's called menucha. It's called menucha. Rest, restfulness and tranquility. There's another matzav ha-nefesh that's called amelus, hard work, struggling, yigia. That's also a matzav ha-nefesh. When a person is baderech, when a person is on a journey when he's not home, he knows that when he's not in his place, he's not with his family, he's not in his familiar surroundings, he knows to be careful, to be constantly on guard. He knows that there are all kinds of unexpected dangers, physical, emotional, that could at any moment come along his way. And therefore, when a person is baderech, he is generally satisfied with ma'at toiv, a little bit to eat, a little bit, if I could have a moment of yeshiva das, a moment of peace, a moment of rest. If I say, think of soldiers. A soldier who's at war, he walks or he runs with 1,000 eyes. He's constantly looking and looking and looking and watching. What's behind that wall? What's behind that building? What's behind that bush? What's behind that tree? If he hears a noise, he turns around, he jumps on the ground, he jumps to see what is that. Every step is with such care. He's not expecting to have menucha and yishev hadas in that matzav he's in, because he knows that at any moment the enemy could appear, and the enemy will not be satisfied unless he kills him. Could you imagine a soldier, who it happens that, whatever it is, it's night, and they told his chevra that it looks like things are quiet, and they sit down and they open up some cans of food to eat, and they have a little bit, a breather to relax, and it's 10 minutes into their supper, and all of a sudden the news comes and there's an alarm that the enemy is approaching, and this guy sits and he says, oh no, I'm in a place of shleimus right now, I'm in a place of rest, I'm in a place of menucha, I was finally enjoying my meal, I am not going to be interrupted by my commanding officer, and I'm not interested in where the enemy is at this moment. I expected to have at least a half hour to an hour, if not an entire evening, of quiet, of menucha and nachla. We understand that such persons are meshugana. And if that soldier, when the enemy arrives, would stand up and say, he would say, Rabbi Isai, please, I'm asking you a favor. I had a hard day. I was running and I'm dodging grenades and bullets all day long. I'm in the tank, I'm out of the tank. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. I have a little bit menucha. Do me a favor, Rabbi Isai. The guy stands up on a mountain, on a hilltop, and he says, I'm asking for just a couple of minutes of menucha. So, of course, he won't last a second. Because every soldier knows that there is no menucha. You're baderech, you're on a journey. The journey is called hadrochem abecheskas sakone. It's dangerous. You don't know where the enemy lurks. At any moment, you could be, God forbid, ambushed. If you have a second to breathe, if you have a chance to drink a little bit of water, to grab a bite, a ma'at toiv, a little bit of toiv, it's a gift, it's a bonus. Mamish a bonus. Because a person then is in a matzav of amelus and yigia, of work, he's baderach, of struggling. And he knows that, and he expects that. And he comes to terms with that, and he lives that way, baderach. When a person's home, it's quiet, it's relaxed, it's peaceful. So he's completely unprepared for any upsetting phone call. In his house, he doesn't expect there to be an enemy. He doesn't expect to be challenged, to be confronted. He's in a place of menucha. But what happens when in that state of mind of menucha, of shleimus, I've reached a point of shleimus. The day is finished, the week is finished, it's a mechaya. And now I'm switching to menucha mode. What happens if in that place, suddenly, something goes wrong? I've mentioned many times what Avni Nezer said from his father, from the Kotzker, that there's a Kabbalah, that the great wars of the end of time, the Milchamas Gog Magog, the great upheaval at the end of time that was predicted by the Nevi'im and Chazal, that the Kotzker said, we're not going to have to go through that. Because Chazal tells us, Kosha Tabuz Rob B'Sach Beisah Shel Adam Yoisem Yimilchemes Goy Gamagoy, that when a person has upheaval, when there are wars in a person's own home, between a husband and wife, between parents and children, brothers and sisters, that's worse than the war of Goy Gamagoy. So the Koska said, you're going to see that at the end of time, there are going to be such bitter wars fought in the homes of Jews. So bitter that we're going to be exempt from the great battle of Gog and Magog because of those wars that are fought in Jewish homes. So when a person is home, he's not expecting a war. He's not expecting it to be what Chazal described at the end of time, that his own enemies, Anshei Beisai, Oivav Anshei Beisai, Oivei Adam Anshei Beisai, where the people of one's own home are going to be his enemies, where his best friend, God forbid, turns against him, where the one who he trusted betrays him, where the very, very same man who I married, believing that he would make my life safe and secure, has become an abusive Rasha, and has taken away from me any Simcha Sechaim that I ever had. Oyvei ish anshei beisai is a bitter, bitter milchama that many people are living through these days. And what makes it most bitter is because of the expectations. I had the expectations that this was going to be, I was going to have a home, and that home was going to be filled with or, with light, with simcha, with peace, with shleimus. When in that very same home, the enemy appears, whatever that enemy is, it could be problems with parnasa, problems with children, problems in shalom bayis, whatever the enemy is. When there's something that comes into the place of menucha, when the enemy infiltrates into that domain of quiet, of shleimus, of menucha nachla, and then the person is caught off guard. And when he's caught off guard and he's unprepared, he simply cannot handle it. He simply is defeated and destroyed by the false hope of tranquility that was shattered by the enemy. That's how life is in the Prozdar, the Emes. The Zohar Kodesh describes the terrible Yisurim of our ancestors when we went to Golos Bavel, when we were taken from Yerushalayim to captivity in Bavel. And the Zohar says, and I'll translate from the Aramaic, Amar Rabbi Shimon, the Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, Misha Rogel is Beltzar, a person who is accustomed, who is used to suffering, who is used to Tzar. Afagav Shaboloi Bizman Musuyim Tzar, even though sometimes he'll have some Tzar, but Soivel Es Masa HaTzar, he's able to bear the weight of that misery, of that suffering, of that anguish. Veinachoshesh, it's not going to ruin him. Avamisha in a rogel b'tzar, but a person who is not accustomed to hardship, who's not used to disappointments and suffering. Avamisha in a rogel b'tzar, v'chol yomav b'tafnukim v'idunim, his entire life is spent b'tafnukim v'idunim, being pampered and spoiled, and having things good and comfortable. Uboloi tzar, and then suddenly, he can't believe it, he thought that he was going to go on his entire life struggling with the decisions between whether to use my iPad right now or my iPod, whether to send an email or to make a phone call, whether to take out on my daddy's credit card $1,000 or $500, Whether or not I should sit and learn a little bit more Thursday night, or I should go to miniature golf or a batting cage or something else. All of a sudden, a person who's living his life b'tafnukim v'idunim, the Zohar says, living a good life, living the good life, an easy, a relatively easy and carefree existence. So the Zohar says, Aval misha ein rogel b'tzar, a person who's not rogel but tzar. V'chol yomav b'tafnukim v'idunim. Can you imagine somebody goes up every single moment of his life, his mommy is taking care of him. Oy, Yankel, b'sazoy goyis a tzaddik. What a tzaddik. What a kaddish you are. Everything you do is so beautiful, so perfect. Ah, you have no idea how much I love you. I love you. So he marries somebody that he wants to be like mommy. And they agreed that they would always be good to each other and they always be kind to each other. And here what happens is, suddenly, it's not so pashut. He's not providing his wife with the panos that he was supposed to. Because of that, he's feeling somewhat embarrassed and frustrated. He's acting up. And his nice little wife is beginning to wonder who she married. And she was all prepped for a nice, easy, comfortable life with her from little husband. And the kids, of course, were supposed to be perfect. A, they were supposed to never catch a cold, never catch any other sickness, God forbid. They were supposed to be able to be dressed beautifully, to behave beautifully. Everything was going to go just the way that it did back in school and with mommy and daddy. And then in seminary and yeshiva, it was going to be gevaldik. Everything is going to be gevaldik. So the Zohar says, Avamisha ena rogel b'tzar, a person who's not used to difficulties, who's not used to anguish and disappointment, a person who's used to having things his way, to having it good, kol yomav b'tafnukim v'idunim, being spoiled and pampered, ubo loy tzar, and that person has tzar. He sees all of a sudden his wife does not shower him with love and affection. He sees that his children are not necessarily behaving in the way that he planned. They're behaving more like he behaved. And as far as work is concerned, it's unstable. His future is unclear. Ubolei tzar, such a person who lived a life of tafnukim and idunim, and then suddenly, because he was expecting that to continue forever, There was never ever going to be a Tisha B'Av in his life. It was only going to be Simchas Torah, Hanukkah, Purim. There was never going to be a Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is something that happened thousands of years ago. We don't have Tisha B'Av anymore. Of course we have it. It's just an inconvenience, a little problem with laundry and with meat. And we try to get through the fastest, as being as comfortable as possible, and using whatever loopholes we can, and making sure to travel along the derech going to work with our a cappella music. He wasn't expecting a Tisha B'Av. He wasn't expecting to be taken down to captivity in Bavel. Al Naharis Bavel Shami Yashav Nagam Bachinu. So the Zohar says, Uboloi Tzar, in such a person are people. Boloi Tzar is suddenly facing terrible disappointment and anguish. So the Zohar says, Zehu Tzar Shalem. Tzaira Shlim, that is a horrible tzar, infinitely greater than the one who was always on guard, than the soldier, the one who knew that this world is a derech, this world is a journey, it's a praise there, we haven't arrived. And at every moment, there could be, God forbid, a change of plans. There could be some unexpected news. So the Zohar says, Zehu Tzar Shalem. By the river of Bavel, there we cried, spoiled and pampered Yerushalmis, children of Yerushalayim, who were expecting it to go on forever, and made believe that what the Navi was saying was never going to happen. And there we were, in chains, sitting on Naharos Bavel, Shom Yashavnu v'gam bachinu, and we began to cry. We understand. The shirish, the root of so much of the anger and so much of the depression in our lives. What's the root of that? Because in Metzius, for the most part, life has never been better. We live, for the most part, of course there's still people who don't, but for the most part, our lives are so much easier than our parents, our grandparents. As far as our great-grandparents, we don't have any hasag at all. Our lives are so much easier. But together with that, we became people of Tafnukim and Idunim. And Tafnukim and Idunim means that as a pampered and spoiled generation, we're easily caught off guard. We have unbelievable expectations. When people get married now, they don't expect just to be good to each other and to raise a God-fearing family, a Jewish family. When they get married, they expect this to be the romance of the century. Not of the century, of the millennia. And when that day comes, and he was expecting the I love you, and she was expecting a little beautiful note, and instead she barely got a good morning. So there's so much disappointment. There's so much disappointment. And the disappointment causes frustration. And the frustration leads to anger and pain. It's unbearable. It was supposed to be good. I was supposed to get to Eretz Yisrael. I was supposed to get to Yerushalayim. There was supposed to be a Beis HaMikdash. So the Meraglim despise Baderach, despise come back. And they say, listen, Rabbi Isai, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu told us? You know what we thought? That Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to be there in a couple of days, is going to be Gevaldik. And you know that we're going to be able to, each and every one of us is going to be able to build a beautiful home with a heated pool and with palm trees and with central air conditioning. And you know we were supposed to have Mashiach and it was going to be beautiful and everything was going to be just right, no sickness, no suffering. So the Maraglim came back and they said, forget it. Forget it. We were duped. We were tricked. This place is so far from Menucha and Nachla, from being a place of that could be home, that could be a place of rest, that could be a place of peace. It's filled with Rishoyim, it's filled with enemies. And there are going to be long battles, and there are giants who live there. And the journey is not by any means over. There are going to be wars, and there are going to be struggles. until we finally come to, maybe we come to the Menucha Nachla that Hashem promised. So the spies came back with that report in the Gevalt. We started to cry. That Bechiyah Shel Chinam, that crying of that Tisha B'Av when they came back, is the crying of our nation still to this day. Looking at Yisrael, how many Jews thought after the war, after the Holocaust, so Hashem Yisbach gave such an inyan that he smiled at us and he winked at us, and we were able to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and we were able to set up shop. So didn't we feel that finally we're home, and after all of the suffering that the journey was finished and the trip was done, just like the Holy Klausenberg Schusik and Linda said what they felt like when the Americans came to liberate the camp, and he said, this is what we waited for. We waited for Americans to come here through the gates of the concentration camp to liberate us. Even though, of course, they were very grateful. But the Klausenberger was crying. We thought for sure Mashiach's going to come marching through there with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ovis and David HaMelech and so on. And instead, it's a very nice group of liberating soldiers. And we're still waiting. What happened in 1948 and the unbelievable disappointment as a people, we thought that it would be finished and we came to the Menucha Nachla. We thought that the Arabs and the whole world were going to forgive the Jewish people after the Milchama, after the Holocaust. They were going to forgive us a tiny little speck of property in this world that we should be able to enjoy and to rest and to be at peace. We had such high hopes and such expectations. Who were going to be our leaders? Who was going to take care of us? What was going to be? The disappointment, we're suffering from the disappointment. The journey hasn't ended, and we're far from that place of Menucha Nachla. Well, hopefully we're not so far, but it's hard to see the end. You know, what's it like when a person comes someplace? Lamoshel, let's talk about COVID for a second. What's it like when a person comes someplace, and he's not home, he's far away, and in this place where he comes, he's a stranger, and they don't know him. If they don't give him an aliyah, or if they don't call him up, or if someone doesn't announce his name and honor him, he's not in the least bit hurt or disappointed, because he's a stranger. Nobody knows who he is. And he doesn't expect to be honored. But oy vavoy, if that person was working for 2 months on the shul's dinner, on the yeshiva's dinner, and the roll call goes off at the dinner, thanking Beryl and thanking Shmerel and thanking Chaya and thanking Bela for all the work that they've done. And he's waiting to hear his name. He's waiting, he's expecting, he's hoping. And he doesn't understand because it seems like it's alphabetical order and his name is, you know, starts with an A. And he doesn't know why they're already holding W's. And then they finish. And his name wasn't mentioned. And then someone goes over to him and says, could you believe it? They didn't mention your name at all. And he's mamish on fire. He was expecting to be honored. In my place, in my home yeshiva, in my home shul, I was expecting to be honored, to be respected. I was ignored. I was disrespected. The unbelievable pain, the anger, comes home, Hamish on fire. He's so angry. When people mentioned to him something at dinner, he could barely fake and say, no, I don't care. I did it l'shem shamayim. I did it l'shma. When a person is away, he doesn't have those expectations. He doesn't have a cholam of honor. It doesn't mean anything because it's stusim and havalim. And when he's away, he doesn't have any hopes for that. He's not holding his breath to hear his name because no one knows his name and it doesn't make a difference. But when a person is home and he has expectations and they're not met and he was waiting for honor, so the anger. Same thing when it comes to all of the Midas, jealousy. Therefore, if we could say that there's a Midan al-Achas, that there's a Nakuda Pnimis, upon which a person can build his inner life, his inner world, it's this Yisai that we're learning. Life in the Midbar, life in the Proizdar, in the hallway, life Baderach, life of this world. We're not home until that day of Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmai Echad. We're not home. It's not over. It's not finished. We're living, as the Ramchal says, we were placed into the melchama of this world. And in this world, our matzav hanefesh has to be like a soldier, with our eyes open, every moment knowing that there could be a test. Even though I was matzliach and I overcame this test 10 times, 20 times, Chazal say that Yitzhak Shal Adam is Gabrielov. B'chol Yom, every day there's a different Yitzhak, every day there's a new enemy. And if a person is not prepared, he can't contend with the enemy. If he lives in a cholam of menucha, of life that's supposed to be just pleasure, just peaceful, just good, then anything that comes his way where he has to go and work harder, or he has to deal with some challenge, he becomes mamish broken. He becomes lost. And he can't find the koiches to move on with his life. He's totally destroyed by that. If a person was expecting that he was going to be married and life was going to be so easy, and they had money from the parents, and they both come from comfortable homes, and it was going well, and then what happened is that the money wasn't coming anymore, and the girl couldn't come in to clean anymore, they couldn't afford it. The wife puts a broom or a mop in the husband's hand and says, "Listen, honey, you're going to have to chip in. The girl's not coming anymore. The money's not coming in, and we can't afford it." So he says, But I was not expecting to ever have to mop. I was never expecting to change a diaper. I thought I was going to have avodim and shvachas that were going to do that, or you. I never expected that I would be the one who would be lowered to get involved with such miyaskite, with such disgusting things. I was waiting for menucha and nachla. And the little wife that was waiting for her tzaddik, and she had all of her expectations, and it's not turning out the way that she wanted. And it turns out he's not such a big Balmidas. Turns out he's not such a Lamdan. Turns out he's not the Gadol Hador. And she sees that he's not going to Bis Medrash so much. And he doesn't daven with such a bren. And he's not always able to get out of bed, and get to shul. And he's not always patient with the kids. And on top of everything, he's not even such a gewaldige breadwinner. So it's not. There's no menucha. There's no shleimus. Instead, there's anger. There's anger. There's disappointment. There's frustration. And there's no strength to move on. So we're learning now a tremendous yisoid. The yisoid is the yisoid that's called Eizu Ha'asher Hasamech Bechelkai. Eizu Ha'asher Hasamech Bechelkai. Let me give you an example that we all know of. Of a Jew who is Samech Bechelko, and then you understand exactly what this means. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, tells us a story about how there was a certain Mechutzef that wanted to upset Hillel HaZaken. He saw that Hillel HaZaken is such a tzaddik, and everybody said he's so humble, and he's so soft and good. So he wanted to prove that, you could get to any person. You could get to any person. So the Gemara tells us that there was a bunch of guys, and they made this bet for 400 zuz. This guy is going to get Hillel HaZaken. He's going to get him upset. They made a bet. Call me sheyelech v'yaknet is Hillel yital ab me'ezuz. So one guy accepted the Hillel challenge. Omer echad mehem, ani akniteno. I'm going to do this. So the Gemara tells us he's a smart guy, this mechutzif. So he waited till it was Erev Shabbos. And it was the end of a hard week in Bis Medrash. Remember that Hillel was the Nasi, he was the prince, he was the leader of all the Jewish people. We're not easy to take care of. And this Mechutzef came Erev Shabbos, just when Hillel was bathing. And he was bathing. And he came there knocking that he wanted to speak to Hillel. And Hillel came out, and the guy started to ask him all kinds of questions, crazy klutzkashes. And each time Hillel says, "Bini ma'at mevakish, my child, what are you asking? How could I help you? What could I do for you?" And each time he asked another kash, another question, and Hillel answered in such a beautiful and gentle way. Until finally, this fellow saw that there's no way in the world that you can get this person upset. So he said, and Hillel said to him, "I'm like, call Sha'al, Sha'al, any questions you have, it's okay, you could ask me." The guy said, I'm afraid you're going to get angry. He said, no, it's okay. So finally the Yid said to him, Ata Hillel, Shekarin Aischa Nasi Yisrael, aren't you Hillel who was called the prince of the Jewish people? So Hillel says, hey, yes, that's who I am. So he says, Im Ata Hu, Lo Yarbu Kamaischa B'Yisrael. If that's who you are, I hope that there won't be more of you among the Jewish people. Amalei b'nei b'nei ma. Why? Why did you say such a thing? So amalei b'nei sha'avadati al yodcha abe mei zuz. Because of you, I lost my $400 bet. I lost my $400 wager that I was going to find a way to catch you off guard. Rav Kook in Ein Ayah, the first chelik on Shabbos, page 135. Rav Kook explains this in the way that we're learning today. Here you had Hillel after such a week. We can't imagine. And finally, it's time for a thought that's going to be Shabbos. And he's having some menucha. It's not yet Shabbos, so he's not yet in that place of complete menucha. It's not entirely the 6 days of the week, because he's not at work in the regular 6 days. It's in between, in that funny time. Erev Shabbos, a thought, just bathing and getting ready. So the Mechutz of Thought, Hillel has such high hopes for Menucha now. He's just bathing his way into Shabbos, into that quiet, into that tranquility of Shabbos. But Hillel showed us that a person who lives with the Yisoid of Ezehu Osher HaSemech B'chalkai, who lives always on guard, who lives his life knowing that this world is not the place of Menucha Nachla, it's only by Yamahu Yashemecha Deshmayecha. So Hillel, even though it came time for a little bit of Menucha, it wasn't the tirdus of the 6 days of the week, it was the Menucha, the time of Menucha. So he could have been so completely, completely upended by this Mechutzev. He could have been so completely destroyed by the disappointment of that interruption, that violent interruption to the menucha that he was looking forward to. But asamech b'chelko is the rich person. What does it mean? Ezehu osher asamech b'chelko. This mida of asamech b'chelko means the following. It means that each and every one of us, individually and as a people, have to know that there's a Yetzirah, and there's a Milchama, and there are enemies outside and inside who at any moment could interrupt my Yishev HaDaas, my Menuchas HaNefesh, who at any moment could ambush me and surround me. A person has to know that I, and as a people, we're a work in progress. We're Baderach. And it could be that I worked on some inyan for many, many years. But still there's something inside of me. There's that little enemy inside, that little Yetzirah that still remains. That's in the meantime been sleeping. But in a moment it could awaken. And it says in the Mishnah, in the second parak, Al tamen ba'atzmecha ad yoy ma'ischa, don't trust yourself until the day of death, until the war ends, until the journey is finished. A person has to constantly be ready. And by doing that, he always has new koiches, always koiches to fight, always koiches to get up and to work harder and to move forward. And therefore, he's not frustrated and angry and disappointed. This is the meaning of Samech Bechelkai. This Jew, the Hillel HaZaken, this person, in a state that is incomplete, in a Matzav Chelki, in an incomplete state, he's not yet in a place of Shlemus. At this moment, he's only having a piece of Shlemus. He's only in a chelek. But he's able to have, like the soldier who's able to stop for 1 second to get a drink, for 1 second to grab a bite. He's happy. Because he knows that this world is only a matzav chelki. It's not it. It's not the Shlemus. And therefore he's able to be besimcha if right now he could chap a good shemoneh esrei. If right now we could chap a little piece of shalom bayis. If right now we could chap a little bit with his children. and to be sameach with that chelik of life, that this moment of the war he was able to have this chelik of life, knowing full well that Hashem will keep his promise, knowing full well that we're in the midbar, we're baderech, and therefore any step forward it brings such joy and such a feeling of accomplishment. And we're living in a world that's filled with chesroinus, that's filled with milchamas, that's filled with challenges. And the ikkar is each and every moment of life for a person to ask himself, what is my next step? This moment, what do I need to do? And when he's able to do that, he has tremendous feeling of joy, a tremendous simcha from that actual chelek, from that chelek that he's able to accomplish, from that bit that he's able to move forward. Masha'enikan the Bala Chalaimus, the dreamer, the one who thinks that the battle's over, the one who thinks he's already holding by the Menucha Nachle, but that he's in Yerushalayim, any chisaron that comes his way, anything that appears on his screen as a disruption, as an interruption of his simcha, of his shleimus, of his peace, will ruin him, will break him. The day will come. The day will come when the doors of Golus will open, and the Klausenberger Rebbe himself will march in with Mashiach. And all of our grandparents and great-grandparents who died before reaching Yerushalayim, that they'll be able to march through that door and we'll be able to meet them. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Beis, Im Ovoi Ba'ehel Beisi, Im Ela Al Eres Yitzuai, Im Eten Shnas La'enai, Laf Apai Sinuma, I can't have any rest. I will not give sleep to my eyes. Ad emtza mokum l'Hashem, until I finally reach that place of Hashem. Mishkanais la'avir Yaakov. I will not be able to close my eyes. I won't close my eyes until that day when we finally come to that place. Ad emtza mokum l'Hashem, mishkanais la'avir Yaakov. But until that time, David Melech was telling each and every one of us to keep our eyes open, and to move forward, and to march towards Yerushalayim. Hashem Yisbach should help us as a people, and each and every one of us as individuals, each one in his own journey, to have that faith and to have that patience, to live through these days, these final days, with our eyes open and our hearts open, so that the time will come, we will be able to be there, when the doors of Golus open, and the journey will be complete. And it will be able to sing together with David Malka Meshicha when we finally come home, El Amnucha Vel Hanachla, the Gula Shan Ramites, Mehem Yemen Amen, Va'amein.